Wishbone Boys Wednesdays here on the Wake Up Call. Today, one of the legends, of course, of the University of Alabama, Richard Tye, joining us here. Richard's up in Florence, Alabama now and doing some work up there. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Richard. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me come on. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Definitely so. We want to talk about all your time playing from the days as an Alabama football player through your time with the Jets, of course, and some with the Saints as well in the NFL. You had a pretty good career there, too. But I want to talk about your background, before we get into that. And there's some records that were out there. One of them that stands out to me is up until Tua Tagovailoa was drafted, you were the last Alabama quarterback that had been drafted in the first round in the NFL by the Jets when you came out. And another is something that caught my eye that is a remarkable feat. You never lost an SEC game at Alabama.
That's stout.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that is truly amazing.
Well, you got to understand, you know, back when I was playing, I was probably one of three quarterbacks
yeah.
that would play a game. You know, we played a lot of people.
Still impressive during your time playing there. So let's talk about it when you came up. You played at Davidson High School. Talk about the transition from first high school to college and playing for Coach Bryant.
Well, the reason I actually committed to Auburn before I saw my ways of error, I guess, and came back to the University of Alabama. But I went to Auburn several times. There weren't the recruiting rules where you could only go to five schools or something. I probably went to Auburn three or four times and Alabama once or twice. But, you know, Pat Sullivan, they were wide open, he and Terry Beasley, and that's kind of the way we ran our offense at Davidson. So I didn't really think I'd fit into the wishbone. And anyway, the bottom line is I just changed my mind because I wanted to play for Coach Bryant. I went to Alabama completely just to play for Coach Bryant. There was no other reason. You know, back then you didn't think about, you know, there weren't five stars and all that other mess. And people were thinking about it. You know, you're a five star nowadays. You're supposed to be, in the pros, which sometimes works out and sometimes doesn't. So I never really thought about playing pro football right out of high school. But I just want to go to Alabama and I want to play with Coach Bryant. I think about probably 50 to 60% of the guys there were the same way.
So what was the spiel, Mr. Richard? This is Craig, by the way, and I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thank you. So
the first time you met Coach Bryant, what was there a certain way that, you know, when he offered you a scholarship, or just kind of explain how that transpired for us?
Oh, it's actually pretty funny. So I went up there, and Bob Tyler was our recruit out of Mobile for Alabama, and he was a real nice guy. I think he ended up being a coach at Mississippi State, the head coach there. But anyway, so when we get up there, and I'm talking to Coach Tyler before we go in to see Coach Bryant with my parents, and he said, "Hey, Richard, ask Coach Bryant, if you come here, are you going to throw the ball more?" So I said, okay. So we go in there. So I asked that question. Coach Bryant was puffing on those Marlboros and didn't have a tip on it. So he takes a puff and he repeats the question that I asked him. He goes, "Okay, if you come here, are we going to throw the ball more?" He takes another puff and he blows it out and kind of spits it the back out of his tongue. And he goes, "Nope. If you come here, no, we're not going to throw the ball more." And he he took another puff, and then he went on with the Scott Hunter saga. He goes, we had Scott Hunter up here. He's one of the greatest throwing quarterbacks we ever had at Alabama, and we went 6-6. So he takes another puff on his cigarette and goes, "Okay, so if you come here, we're going to throw the ball more." No, we're not.
Now,
they kind of put you in your place, you know?
Yeah, yes, sir. Did he know that Auburn, you had gone to Auburn multiple times and that?
Oh, I think that, you know, there, like I said, there was no internet or anything else back then. And but word gets around quick, because yeah. I remember Coach Jordan calling, and I committed to Auburn on the phone. And then 30 minutes later, Coach Bryant called and was saying, "Next time, you know," and I said, "Well, Coach, I just committed to Auburn." And he goes, "Well, if you ever buy this way, stop by and say hello." I mean, he's real cordial, but I mean, he had heard, obviously, so he was just checking it out.
Yes, sir.
What was it that switched it again for you? Because, I mean, I know you said you'd made your mind up with Auburn, and it didn't sound like he made the best, pitch to get you to come after he shot you down on the, throwing the football more.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one. I mean, he didn't tell you a bunch of stories like, I'm not going to name names, but like a lot of them did back then. You know, we went to one school. I'm not going to say who it is, but you know, there's three quarterbacks, and we were around most of the recruiting trips, and it wasn't Auburn, and it wasn't Alabama. It's another SEC school. So we all got together, and we went in and talked to the coach, the head coach, and he came out. And he goes, "What did he tell you?" And he goes, "He told me I'd start." He goes, "He told me I'd start." I said, "Well, he told me the same thing. We all three can't start." So, you know, they'll say that's just part of recruiting. There's a lot of BS that goes involved. But, you know, once you get there, man, it's, you know, it's wide open. You're competing against everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and one other thing I thought about, this certainly had to be a feather in the cap for Alabama, was your initials are RT, Roll Tide. You know what I mean? That ever been said to you?
No. I've said that a bunch of times. I kind of, you know, I'd write it down. I go, you know, Roll Tide, Richard Todd.
What was it like being on those teams in the 1970s? Alabama, dominant decade for sure.
We would just wear people down. You know, like I said, Coach Bryant would. My sophomore year, I was a backup, and my junior year, I started, and I probably played about the same amount of time my sophomore and junior year. I played a little more my senior year, but you know, we just had a lot of backs, and we had a lot of great players. Our defense was always one of the top in America. You know, we had Leroy Cook and Alan Pizzatola and Conley Duncan and Bob Baumhauer. These guys. Wayne Rhodes in the back, Tyrone Young, we Ricky Davis. So our defense was out there usually most of the time, the first team. With the offense, he would go, give me the first team back or the first team line, and so they would run a couple of series. And the next time he'd say, give me the third team back with the second team line. So we just mixed up a lot of players, a lot of people played, and we kind of wore people down.
So much different than what you see today. I know. What are some of the things that stand out most when your favorite moments maybe as a college player?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of games. We played Cal Berkeley and we beat them 66-6 or something like that. And I was a sophomore my first year, and they had Steve Barkowski was a backup. He ended up being the number one pick in a couple of years. The backup to Vince Ferragamo. They had Chuck Muncy. They had a wide receiver, Wesley Walker, that played with me in the Jets, and one of those games. And then, of course, you know, the Auburn games, UT games, the Tennessee games were the big rivalry back then. And like I said, we never lost to them my sophomore through my senior year, so that was pretty nice.
I wonder how many times, you probably get this question all the time, but how many times have you been compared to Joe Namath just because the path that you took as an Alabama player and then getting a draft pick for both the Jets? Following him, and did he have anything? Do you think he had a say in that? I've heard that before. Did he have a say in maybe you getting picked up by them?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I met Joe my sophomore year. He would come to Tuscaloosa and work out. A couple times he brought a receiver from the Jets and all. They came down and we worked out together. You know, I'd get out there and run routes for him and you know, just watch him work, and we developed a friendship then, and I definitely think that he probably had something to do with it. My senior year, I think we threw the ball an average of six times a game, so it was just pounding ground. But, you know, I guess one of the greatest things that happened to me is, you know, back in those days, you had the Senior Bowl and you had the Hula Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, being from Mobile, I've been in Mobile my whole life, so I want to go to the Hula Bowl, so... It was after the season, and Coach Bryant called me up. Richard, you need to come by the office. And he said, I said, fine. And went over there, and he goes, hey, you haven't checked in, for the Senior Bowl. And I go, well, Coach, I'm from Mobile. I was just going to go to the Hula Bowl. I've never been to Hawaii, blah, blah, blah. And he said, so he said, hold on one second. So he called the head guy at the Senior Bowl right there at his office. He goes, Richard, right here, he wants to tell you he's coming to play at the Senior Bowl. So they handed me the phone and said, yes, sir, I'll be down there next Tuesday or whatever the time was, you know. But it was probably the best thing because I had a heck of a game. I think I threw 280-something yards for a half. And
golly.
We had Steve Largent was a wide receiver, Sammy White. We had really good teams.
That had to help, obviously, with the draft status. I mean, because you were able to throw the football for a change, huh?
Yeah, well, Joe had told the Jets, he goes, you know, before y'all draft, if y'all drafting a quarterback, we'll go down and look at Richard because he can't throw the ball. I work out with him in the summers and blah, blah, blah. And they just didn't throw much, but, you know, he can't throw the ball.
What's Joe Namath like? I mean, you're personal. You knew him, so what was he like?
I mean, he was always very nice to me. You know, Joe was really more down to earth than a lot of people think. I think he was kind of introverted actually too until he got to know you.
Yeah.
But you know, Joe was a really good guy. I had the privilege of playing, you know, with him and with Snake Staber with Saints. It was just 1 year each, but
right.
It was worth it.
There's not a whole lot of people that can sit here and say that. That's cool.
You still talk to Joe?
I know. I'll see Joe now and then at an Alabama function or something. I probably haven't talked to him about a year, but we usually talk once a year or so.
When you were drafted, you played, of course, we mentioned the Jets. You did play with Saints too, but New York is a different kind of city, obviously, and the fans can be brutal. What was your experience with them? Did you embrace that, the New York style, or what was it like, certainly coming from Alabama going up there?
Well, it was quite a shock. I remember that.
Yeah.
But it was, it's like, you know, any other. If you're in New York and you're winning, I mean, it's twice as good. And if you're in New York and you're losing, it's twice as bad. Because there's so many newspapers up there. I think, you know, when I went to New Orleans, there was a Times, Picayune, and, very, very small coverage of everybody. And up there, you go up there, there's probably 30 writers a day trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
So they all got to get a different angle. So, you know, if you're having a good year, the angles are usually good. If you're having a bad year, the angles are usually bad. So that's just kind of the way it is.
Talking with Richard Todd, former Alabama quarterback, part of the Wishbone Boys documentary that's coming up in Tuscaloosa in August. Played 10 years in the NFL. When I think about the long career that you had, and not many people are able to say that I played, you know, a 10-year NFL career on top of college, I can't imagine how many hits you took, and this is back before, you know, when guys are enduring this, they didn't really have any protections for quarterbacks. How do you compare that to what we see this day and age?
Well, I think there's so much money involved nowadays. I mean, it's, you know, your quarterback, you're signing for $20 million, $15, $20, $30 million. So, of course, all the teams want to keep their quarterbacks healthy. So they've kind of geared the rules for the quarterback, no doubt about it. I remember I'd throw an interception and I threw quite a bit of them. And the first thing a defensive lineman's taught to do is, you know, you see the interception, go after the quarterback. So, I've been banged around foreheads to the helmet and everything else. And, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal back then. But you know, there's just so much money involved. You got to take care of these guys nowadays. I mean, it's a great fan sport. And they get most of their money from the TV revenue money. So, they want to keep a good product on the field.
How do you like watching Alabama football this day and age? And certainly we've seen this transition of the passing attack since Lane Kiffin, I think, more than anybody else, and what we've seen with Sark. And now, you know, obviously Alabama can throw the football around more than they probably ever have. What do you think of it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just look back at the transition. I mean, Alabama threw the ball quite a bit with Scott Hunter, and I guess that was the last year. And I think they went, 6-6 or 5-5 or something back in those days. And he was a great throwing quarterback. So I think Coach Bryant back at that time just changed the whole offense up and went to the wishbone and was very successful with that. But it took a lot of guts to do what he did. But, you know, nowadays it's just you get these athletes, you spread the field, you get your one-on-one that you like, and you kind of work that, you know, throughout the game. And then you take in Alabama and their recruiting prowess with Coach Saban. And I mean, look at, they have number one, they had what, two or three number one picks as wide receivers. Yeah. I mean, over the years they had several number one picks. So he's getting the best receivers in the country. And same thing goes for the quarterbacks.
Is it fair to even make the comparison to Saban and Bryant? They're both so great.
Oh, I think it's different eras. I think I was lucky to play with Coach Bryant. He was the best of the best then. And you can't help but say what Saban's done is just unbelievable, especially now with these rules. You can only sign 25 guys. And I think when I signed, we signed like 43, 44, and they made us line up in the gym. And they had signed six quarterbacks. And, I didn't know that. You know, there was no you know, there was no internet. You didn't get all the papers. You didn't get all the news like you do nowadays. But you know, a lot of those guys became safeties and played on defense. So it was just, you know, we had a lot of people. But now you just sign, you know, Coach Brock can go through all throughout the country. And if he really wants somebody, he has a great chance of getting them.
You still keep up with Alabama pretty closely these days?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? I'm one of these spoiled Alabama fans. With Coach Saban and what he's done, unbelievable. Unbelievable job.
Definitely. We're all spoiled by what we're seeing. And it is something to behold and something to appreciate because, you know, it's not going to last forever.
Correct.
Sure.
No, it didn't. When Coach Bryant left and then brought in Stallings, and then we had that 10-year period where it was really tough to go to some of the games.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's when I had kids down there and I was going to the games every week. Now, you know, everybody's graduated. My son Gator is an assistant golf coach up at Vanderbilt. They finished seventh in the country this year and won the SEC. And my daughter works out of Atlanta, and then Jimmy's down in Tuscaloosa, and he's working for Morgan Stanley. So, you know, they're all over the place.
They're doing well, it sounds like. And you're still working yourself.
Proud of them.
Yeah, I know you are. Yes. We appreciate your time, Richard, so much. And I know it's going to be a big event, the Wishbone Boys, coming up next month. Thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Roll Tide.
Okay. I appreciate it. Roll Tide.
Thank you very much. Richard Todd, how about that?
We'll talk
to you soon. I hope we do. This has been so fun talking to these guys. The chill factor, yeah. What a career as a Alabama player and also in the NFL. Wishboneboys.com for more information. Event tickets, you can get those now. The hotel headquarters is Homewood Suites and Home 2 Suites in downtown Tuscaloosa. The event is going to be on August the 28th at the historic Bama Theater.